To set the stage for what I want to do today, we've got a little video clip that I'd like to share. It's entitled Father's Day Home Movies. And after that, I'm going to talk primarily to the men and fathers here today about building a spiritual legacy that will last.
Last week, I wandered into the garage, found some old home movies, and decided to rediscover them for myself. As I watched for hours, I didn't just remember my childhood. I became reacquainted with this man called Dad. I remembered a man who taught me not to be afraid of the ball. He was a man who tried his best to love my mom, as awkward as it was for my sister and I to watch. A dad who not only taught me how to drive, but who taught me that a speed limit was more of a speed suggestion. Here was this man who was learning and failing and succeeding all along the way, and who seemed just fine with all of it. But most importantly, my dad taught me that this fathering thing wasn't original with him, that there was a father in heaven who invented the whole idea in the first place. A father in heaven who runs to me, no matter what I did to break his heart. A father who calls me son, and who knows full well what it means to give his own son to a world filled with people like me. And every day I live, I'm given the opportunity to live my life so that I point my kids in the direction of that father. He taught me to love my family and to lead them toward Jesus, and I'm trying my best to do that. I miss him so much, and I'll never forget.
Most of you who are members here, if you're a member here, at least I hope you know this. I'm a father too. Those of you who are visiting may not know that, but my wife sitting over here, we have three children, two of which are here today. Glad to have my son with us this morning. He lives in Graves County now and doesn't often get to come over with us, but nice to have him with us today. And our daughter, oldest daughter, is with her husband, and they're worshiping with his father today on Father's Day. So I'm a father, and when I see something like that, I don't know what your reaction to something like that might be, but here's mine. It makes me think about my father and the legacy that he left my family, and that in turn makes me think about the legacy that I'm leaving my family. And I wonder what kind of legacy am I leaving my family? Am I a good father? What have my children, what has my family learned from me about being a Christian husband or father or just a Christian man? Have I taught them anything? When I'm gone, I wonder, what will they remember about me? I know that I've got some things right as a father, but I know I've also gotten some things wrong as a father, and I hope I've got more right than wrong. But days like today and clips like that make me wonder, what am I leaving my family in regards to a legacy and what they will remember about me? Can we talk a little bit about that this morning, man to man, father to father, for those of you who are men and fathers today? That doesn't mean that if you're a female or not a father, that nothing I'm about to say will apply to you. Maybe it won't, but maybe it will. So I encourage you to stay with us and not just completely check out and doze off or start fiddling on your iPhone or whatever you've got with you this morning. Don't play Candy Crush or whatever else you may play when you're at the doctor's office bored or whatever. Stay with us, because maybe something I say will also apply to you. But I do want to talk primarily to those who are men, specifically those who are blessed to be fathers this morning. We're all on a different place on our journey as men or as fathers. So some of the things that I'm going to talk about here in the next 20 minutes, you may no longer be able to do, depending upon where we are on our journey as men and where we are upon our journey as fathers. I may make some suggestions this morning that the time for you to do these things really has passed. But wherever you are on that spectrum of manhood or fatherhood, wherever you may find yourself this morning, my hope would be that you would not let what time you have left, wherever you may be on that spectrum, and that you would not let whatever opportunities will present themselves to you to leave a better legacy for your family members, for your children, if you have them, your church family, whatever the situation may be, that you'll use whatever opportunities God gives you from this point forward to leave a godly, positive, spiritual legacy that others will remember about you and be blessed because of you long after you are gone. I don't think many of the men in our church on a regular basis do this. I could be wrong, but I think I'm probably right about this. On your pew bulletin that you received as you walked in the door this morning, I have a space for you to write down the four suggestions I'm going to make here in a moment. I don't typically see many men doing that. Usually men, we're kind of disengaged on that, and we don't do that. Usually it's the women who I see writing things down. That's okay. I know, men, you're smart, and you just got that mind trap right up there, and every word I say, you know, it's just right there, and you can recall it just like that anytime you want it. So I get that you don't have to write things down. But just in case you don't have that kind of mind that can recall things, you know, on the spur of a moment, maybe one or two or maybe even three or four of the things I'm going to say this morning might be worth remembering. And in the off chance that they are, maybe you'd like to write one or two of them down today that you might come back to later in this week, as maybe the Holy Spirit will remind you of some of the things that I spoke about this morning, and perhaps how they might apply to you and how they might be applied by you in your life. I want to share four things this morning that we can do as men and as fathers to leave a legacy that is worth remembering, a legacy that will bless our families even long after we're gone. And I want to start with what I think is the most important one. I was tempted to wait and use this one at the end, but I want to deal with it because I think it's the most important one. And that is, if we want to leave a spiritual, godly legacy with our families that will bless them many, many years, perhaps even after, long after we're gone, I believe that kind of legacy begins with a genuine commitment on our part to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where this begins. In a very short letter that John wrote that we call 1 John, in chapter 2 of that letter, in verse 13, John says, "I am writing to you, fathers." Calls them out. As that letter was being read to the assembled Christians who were gathered in that region, and that letter was being read, when that statement was read, "I am writing to you fathers," certain ones in that assembly, obviously their ears perked up. Oh, he's about to say something specifically to me, not just to all of us, but to me, because I'm a father. John says, "I am writing to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning." The men to whom John wrote this letter that we call 1 John were apparently men who knew the Lord. Now let me ask you something, men. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire to know him, to walk with him, to let him be your greatest guide in life? Now, please listen to what I'm about to say, because I don't want you to misunderstand anything I'm about to say. I don't want to mislead or misrepresent anything here. I think it's important, fathers, if I can speak just specifically to fathers who are here this morning, I think it's important for you to be here today. Not just on Father's Day, I don't mean that, but to be in this assembly. I think it's important for fathers to get up on Sunday morning and help get the kids ready if they need to be urged to get ready or whatever, if they're still that age, to get everybody in the car and to get everyone here. It is good, it is right for you as a father to be a part of that. There are some fathers, they're not here this morning, who don't mind their children and their wives coming to church, but they're just not part of that scene. So if you're a father and you've got young children and you've been part of that process of getting them up and getting them here, that's great. You need to be doing that. If you're a father, if you're a man, and you've got a place in this church, something that you're known for, something that you do, a ministry that you're involved in, that too is a good thing. And I urge you to be involved and to find a place where you can serve and use the abilities that God has given you and get plugged into a ministry. That's what men, that's what fathers need to do, to set that example. So all of that's good, but you can do all of that and not really know Jesus. It is a reality that individuals can sit in an assembly like this week after week after week, can even have a role in a local church like this, something they're known for, something they do, something that everybody understands about them, and still not really know Jesus as Lord. The godly legacy that I'm talking about this morning is the kind of legacy that flows out of not just going to church, which, again, that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's bad. The godly legacy that I'm talking about this morning flows out of not just having something to do at church, but it flows out of a passion, a desire in a man's heart to know the one who was from the beginning. You see, when I die and my family remembers me, I don't want them to just remember me as a man who went to church. I want them to remember me as a man who loved Jesus. And men, there's a difference. It's not that it's a bad thing at all to get your kids up and to get them to church. You ought to be doing that. That's a good thing. And it's not that it's a bad thing to have something to do in a local church. That's a good thing. All of us need to have something that we do, a place where we serve, a niche that we are carving out for ourselves and getting ourselves involved in this church. But even above all of those things is the desire in our heart to know the one who was from the beginning. And so to me, this is where it starts. This is where a true spiritual legacy, a true godly legacy begins. It begins with my wanting to know Jesus and then getting in line with that and going with wherever that takes me as a man and as a father. And here is part of my greatest regret, even though I'm a preacher. For much of my life, I don't know that I've really had that burning desire to know Jesus. It's just kind of easy to fall into the expectation of going to church and fulfilling your role. And I know if I, a preacher, can say that, I suspect some of you men may be struggling with the same thing. So let me lay something on your heart this morning that maybe the Holy Spirit will remind you of later this week. Who we are is not just about going to church. It's not even just about having something to do in the church. It's about wanting to know Jesus. Getting to know Him, becoming more like Him, walking with Him, learning who He is, how He would have me to be. Out of that grows a legacy that I think will impact our families for years and years to come. So number one, this is where it all starts. A lasting legacy begins with a genuine commitment on our part to know the one who was from the beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, to leave a godly legacy for our children, our families, we need to let them see us honoring our vows. To love, to honor, to cherish, to respect our wife and their mother. I've seen this on social media quite a bit this past week. Those of you who frequent Facebook have probably seen it too. I'll paraphrase it, but the heading has been, one of the greatest things you as a father can do for your children is let them see you loving their mother. There's a lot of truth in that. In a short epistle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, speaking in that letter to different groups within that church, he addresses husbands, and he says, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves Himself. Fathers, gentlemen, our children see how we treat their mother. They hear what we say about her when she walks out of the room. They're watching how we treat her, and they're learning. If they're still at home, they're learning ways to treat their wife one day, should they be blessed to have one. A son who sees his dad disrespect his wife will likely carry that into his own marriage and perhaps repeat the same behavior with his wife. A daughter who hears her dad verbally abuse or sees him physically abuse her mother may come to see that as normal and will permit that in her future relationships. If our children see us treating their mother like she isn't worth very much, then we're degrading the home, the family, and the institution of marriage, and we're sowing seeds in the minds of our kids so that one day when they have a family, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, as we say around here, and the tools we've given them are the tools they now begin to use in their own marriage. And if we've not honored our vows, they may not honor theirs. A son who sees his dad, on the other hand, loving and respecting his wife, learns how to one day do the same for his wife. A daughter who sees her dad honoring her mother will never be satisfied with a man who dishonors and mistreats her. And if our children see us honoring our vow and loving and respecting our wife, then they're going to remember that legacy and be blessed by it in their own relationships. So a godly, positive legacy flows out of how we treat each other in our marriages, how we speak to each other, how we treat one another, whether or not we're honoring our vows in our marriage has a lot to do with the legacy that we're leaving. Number three, to leave a godly, positive legacy with your families, let them hear you say the 9 most difficult words a man can speak. Have I got your attention, men? Here are the 9 most difficult words for a man to say. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. There's something about stringing those 9 words together in that sequence that's almost impossible for most men to say. We can say the word wrong, but it's rarely in the context of I'm wrong. We can say the word sorry, but it's usually not in the context of I'm sorry. And we can say the word forgive, but it's not usually in the context of please forgive me. All seriously, though, if we can't say these 9 words, I was wrong, I am sorry, please forgive me, then the legacy we're leaving is probably not one that anybody wants to remember. Because let's face it, we're all going to get something wrong every now and then. Sometimes, men, our attempts at discipline are going to be too harsh. I think Paul speaks to that in Colossians 3 and verse 27. He says, fathers, do not embitter or make your children resentful, or they will become discouraged. Sometimes our attempts to do the right thing, to discipline our children as we need to do, sometimes it can be over the top. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes it's not hard enough. Sometimes we're too easy. Sometimes we're not willing to do what needs to be done. Sometimes we don't speak respectfully to our wives, and our children hear it. Sometimes we let our temper get away from us, or our anger gets up, and we say and we do things that we shouldn't say or do. We're going to get it wrong. When we do, we need to be willing to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. If we can bring ourselves to say those words, that creates an environment that is healthy and positive. But when we refuse to acknowledge that anything I could do or say was wrong, we set in place a dynamic that is unhealthy and that can lead to destruction. In a book several years old now, co-authored by Don Shula, former coach of the Miami Dolphins several years ago, back when they were good. We're in Kentucky. What do I care? I doubt that there's Miami Dolphin friends here. and another gentleman by the name of Ken Blanchard. The book's entitled Everyone's a Coach. In that book, the co-author Blanchard tells the story of a time when his son was a teenager. And apparently he owned a rather large pickup truck, and sometimes he would park the truck in his driveway. And when he did, it blocked the driveway. Nobody could get in or out. And so he always told his son, please park in the street, not in the driveway, because when you do that, none of the rest of us can get out or in. In the book, he tells about how one day he came home to find that his son had not only blocked the driveway with his truck, but had gone off with friends and taken his keys with him so they couldn't move the truck. Finally, 3 hours later, his son showed up, and Blanchard said, I was waiting for him. I stormed out of the house. I let him have it. I didn't leave any doubt about what he'd done wrong and how I felt about it. As I was walking back into the kitchen, my son raced after me and said, Dad, you forgot the part about how I'm a good kid and how much you love me and how this is so unlike you. I cracked up laughing. He says, I apologized then for exploding on him. And we hugged. Scott never left his truck in the driveway again, and I got better at reaffirming my love for him at the end of my reprimands. You know, let's be honest, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we get over the top with our words. We get over the top with our effort to discipline our children. Sometimes we've had a bad day and we come home and we take it out on our families and we say things and we're in one of those moods, and it's like the kids know, man, Dad's in a mood. Let's hide. Let's run. Let's go to the neighbor's house or whatever. Guys, let's just be honest about it. Sometimes we're jerks. Sometimes we're foolish. Sometimes it's just not right. It's important that we don't try to sweep that under the rug. And we say, man, I'm sorry. I had a bad day. I'm just being an idiot. I'm being a jerk. Forgive me. I think that's what's needed if we want to leave a good legacy. One more. If you want to leave a great legacy, then spend some time with your family now. Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Sometimes you hear the foolish saying, it's not quantity time, it's quality time. I spend quality time with my kids. I don't know. To me, I think it's both. It's quality and quantity. The time we spend with our families says either I love you and want to be with you, or I've got more important things to do. So I think it's quality and quantity. I don't want to be the kind of guy who, when it comes time for me to leave, says, wow, I wish I could go to the office one more time. I'm going to really miss that place. Or I wish I could make one more business trip. I really love those overnight trips out of town. I want to be the kind of man who, when he gets to the end of his life, says, man, I'm going to miss my family. And whose kids will say, man, I'm going to miss Dad. Now that's a legacy. That's what I want. When my kids are gone, to say, man, wish Dad was here. But guys, we don't get that if we don't start building toward that now. So turn off that stupid computer and put down the cell phone. Put the files away. Come home and do something with your family. To those of you that are young, I used to be young. It gets away from you, doesn't it, Richard? I can always play off Richard. He's older than I am. Play with them. Get in the floor. Play horsey. One day you won't be able to get in the floor and play horsey. And even if you can, when your kid gets big, it's just not the same. I might not be able to get back up here and preach after letting Nathan play horsey on my back. Spend some time with your kids. You ain't doing anything that's any more important than that. I'm just telling you. You're not doing anything out there that's more important than being with your family. So spend some time with those kids. Have a desire to know the one who was from the beginning and build your life on that. Honor your vows. Treat your wife right. Let your children see you loving their mother. Learn to say those 9 difficult words. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And spend some time, quality and quantity, with your family. We do those things, and I think we'll be on our way toward building a godly, positive, spiritual legacy that will bless our families long after we're gone. Let me ask those of you who are men and fathers to stand. I just want to pray over you and we'll be through. If you can, physically, if you'd like to, if you're able to, fathers, men, let's pray. Father, those of us standing before you this morning acknowledge that we all have feet of clay, that we make mistakes, and we need your mercy and your grace every day. We're grateful for those that you've put in our lives and will possibly one day put in the lives of those who are standing who are not yet in a relationship, perhaps not yet even married. We look forward in their case, Father, one day possibly being blessed with a wife, with a family. Those of us that have families, we're grateful for them. We thank you for those gifts. Our lives would be so empty without those blessings and those people that you've given us. My prayer is that you'd help the men who are standing here to have a desire to be like Christ, that we might resemble him more and more each day, so that we might know how to be a husband and a father, a friend, a brother, a man, and that others might see you in us. Give us a good day today, regardless of our situation. May we be able to say that this is a good day, and that we are glad to have been in the house of our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the rest of you stand and let's bless each other today, this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.